Welcome back to KMOX. John Hancock alongside Braxton Payne in for the vacationing Michael Kelly. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel has been in the U.S. this week, invited to speak to a joint session of Congress. He met with President Biden and Vice President Harris over the past couple of days. He's meeting with former President Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago today. And Robert Berger joins us, our correspondent from Jerusalem. Robert, thanks so much for your time. How is the Netanyahu visit playing at home there in Israel?
Everybody watching really closely. You know, typically it's kind of like either you love Netanyahu or you hate him. So the people that like Netanyahu thought he gave a great speech to Congress, thought that he addressed the American people really only like Bibi Netanyahu can. But his opponents at home felt it was just a bunch of empty slogans and that he needs to do more to get the hostages home.
Yeah, and you know his popularity in Israel has been waning for some time, and now you've got this conflict going on in Gaza. What is the state of play on the ground right now in Gaza? Is Israel still involved in Rafah? Have they kind of moved beyond that even at this point?
The fighting is still going on in Gaza, not in the massive kind of bombing that we had earlier on in the war. It's more precise and surgical strikes right now, but the Rafah operation is continuing there on the Egyptian border. They've gone back to other places where they had declared victory and Hamas defeated even months ago. But the problem is, once the Israeli army pulls out, Hamas has been moving back in. So we're actually seeing fighting in various areas of Gaza, and the Israelis say that they're still finding, you know, what they call terrorist infrastructure, things like tunnels and weapons. So Israel sees this as a form of pressure to get Hamas to make concessions in the hostage talks.
Yeah, so yesterday Netanyahu met with Vice President Harris. It seemed to be a little bit of a colder interaction. She signaled after that she may be differing from President Biden on some of the stances with Israel and the war in Gaza. How is that playing in Jerusalem as she is now going to be the de facto Democratic nominee for president?
I would say real concern. I mean, her tone was noticeably stern. Different than, you know, the somewhat empathetic President Biden, even though he has also cooled off to Netanyahu and to Israel over the high amount of civilian casualties in Gaza. But she was very stern and said she would not be silenced about the suffering of the Palestinian people, and she urged Netanyahu to end the war now. So I think it was very stern, and people are concerned about what's going to happen should she win the election. I think the fear is that you'll see a much less sympathetic presidency and administration toward Israel.
So much of the rhetoric in this country centers around the so-called two-state solution. Takes two to tango, and Hamas has not been willing to even consider a two-state solution. Is that really a viable option going forward?
So the U.S. administration, the Biden administration, says that's got to be the outcome. The only solution to this conflict is a two-state solution. And actually, we're seeing that now all over the international community, the U.N., everybody says that. The Israeli Knesset, or parliament, has voted that idea down twice by a huge majority in recent months because of what happened in Gaza. Basically, Israel pulled out of Gaza in 2005, and after that, a couple of years later, Hamas took over the territory, and you can see what they built, this massive army and infrastructure such as tunnels and weapons facilities, all aimed at, you know, fighting Israel. So the concern is, well, what kind of Palestinian state are you going to have? Is it going to be a state that's at peace with Israel, or is it going to be something like the Hamas state in Gaza?
Robert Berger is our guest, CBS correspondent. He's in Jerusalem. And so much focus on Gaza, on Hamas. To the north, Hezbollah, arguably a better trained, larger military entity, also funded by Iran. What is the state of Hezbollah? Are they participating in this? Are they still bombing in parts of Israel? And how concerned is the Israeli government about Hezbollah?
So that's a big problem. Interestingly, not mentioned very much on Netanyahu's trip this week, but that is a huge problem since October 7th. Actually, starting on October 8th, Hezbollah has been firing. That's the Iranian-backed militia in Lebanon, has been firing missiles, drones, rockets, anti-tank missiles across the border at Israel. And about 80,000 Israelis have been evacuated from their homes now for more than 9 months, with no end in sight. This is something that's been going on daily. Of course, Israel has also been retaliating in South Lebanon against Hezbollah with somewhat surgical strikes. All of this I would describe as skirmishes, not really a full-scale war. Both sides, you know, trying to avoid that, but there's a lot of pressure on the Israeli government to do something about Hezbollah because you have 80,000 Israelis evacuated from their homes. That area of Israel, northern Israel, is unlivable right now.
Well, it's a really tough situation. You know, when you think about how this all ends and with the myriad of threats that surround Israel on all sides, Netanyahu, very unpopular in the country, maybe doesn't withstand a challenge once the conflict is over. What do you see as a reasonable timeline for when these operations in Gaza are going to cease, and what degradation of Hamas is going to be considered a victory?
Well, you know, it looks like the hostage negotiations certainly are a lot further along than they were, say, a couple of months ago. But we've had so many false alarms now about whether there would be a ceasefire and hostage deal. But you've got the Biden administration pushing for it. The meeting today with Trump, I'm sure Trump said yesterday publicly on Fox that Israel needs to end the war. So, I mean, it seems like it would probably, you might get a ceasefire within the next month or two. And, of course, then that's a long process involved in getting back more than 100 hostages. We're talking about a two-phase deal to get back most or all of the living hostages anyway. But it still remains to be seen if they can close the gaps and make a deal. And as far as your question about how much Hamas has certainly been damaged, but Israel's goal of destroying it or its army or its military infrastructure, they still have, let's say 30% of what they had before. So they are maybe they're down, but they're not out.
One of the things that's been talked about here in the States in recent days has been that this war continues so Netanyahu can stay in power. It's a war of convenience for him. He was deeply unpopular before the war. He consolidated power after. What are the timelines in Israel for a next election, and how does that work there?
Well, the next election is a couple of years away if Netanyahu can maintain his grip on power. It's not like in the United States, though, where it's 4 years and that's it. His government, it's a parliamentary system where it could be toppled if you can get a majority in parliament to do that. But right now he's got he's got 64 seats out of 120 in the Knesset, and nobody has dropped out of that, and because of that, he's been able to maintain his grip on power. It's assumed that once the war ends, there will be massive pressure on him to resign. But as of right now, he is still maintaining his grip on power. Having said that, there are the right-wing elements, the far right in his coalition, who say if he makes a ceasefire deal before destroying Hamas, that they'll pull out of the government, and then his government could collapse and he could fall from power.
That is Robert Berger, CBS News correspondent in Jerusalem. Thanks so much for your time. Thanks so much for your insight. Very helpful this morning. Have yourself a great weekend.